Ezekiel's Fire, The Great Solar Cataclysm Straight Out of Prophecy by John Little. Copyright 2022. Narrated by the author. A Solar EMP and Global Earthquake. As fantastic as this solar event will be, we're really concerned with what we will experience and whether we will survive it. And there are two areas that put your survival in doubt. Electromagnetic pulse. Earthquakes. When our sun increases in brightness to several times normal, it will also blow off the outer layer of its surface. It will be a gigantic, expanding sphere of charged particles racing outwards in every direction into the solar system. Our sun usually sends out much smaller bits of its outer shell during a solar flare. We call this explosion of bits of outer shell from the sun a coronal mass ejection, or CME. However, this CME will be so big, so vast, that those of us who survive will probably call it something else, assuming that astrophysics survives. We'll see this expanding outer shell of our sun with our own eyes, and it will be nothing like we have ever seen. Then, as this explosion of particles and dust reach Earth 15 to 20 hours later, everything electric and electronic will cease to work. Transformers will explode, power lines will melt, massive lightning storms will bombard us, cars will stop running, planes will fall out of the sky, satellites will be swept away, and every major building around the world will collapse in the biggest earthquake since the Great Flood. In the first editions of this book, I had not seen the inevitability of earthquakes and even tidal waves. I was so focused on the effects on our electrical infrastructure that I did not see what the Bible said would happen to buildings and cities around the world. And it took my book, When Gog Comes, for me to see it so clearly. But before getting to that earthquake, let's talk about this pulse of electromagnetism that will come from our sun. A solar electromagnetic pulse. As I have said before, most solar flares do not cause the same level of damage that an EMP weapon would cause. Most solar flares only cause damage to radio communications, electricity generation, and electricity distribution. But Ezekiel's fire will be so much greater than any solar flare that we have ever seen that we would do well to compare its effects with that of nuclear EMP weapons. Please also remember that the description in Zechariah 12:4 is stunningly similar to the effects of nuclear electromagnetic pulse weapons. Here is that verse again. Quote, "In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness." Close quote. Zechariah 12:4, KJV. Even if we ignore the above verse and limit our thinking to the possibility that Ezekiel's fire would only destroy electricity generation, that alone would cause massive death and destruction. Our modern civilization cannot live without electricity. If electricity generation and distribution is destroyed across a continent, or more than one, it would be years before it came back on. And that means no food or water for months or years. Are you ready for that? Remember that you can't live without water for more than 3 days, and you'll starve to death in 30. So even a more standard kind of solar flare like the X-45 Carrington event would cause great destruction. And most experts are concerned about just such a reoccurrence of that 1859 solar flare. But Ezekiel's fire will be so far beyond anything like that, it would be like comparing a cannon to a pop gun. No one and nothing would ever be the same again, at least for those who survive. Again, I cannot stress enough the need to understand the description found in Zechariah. Every horse with astonishment, every horse of the people with blindness. I will be getting into other Bible passages that verify the coming of Ezekiel's fire later. But for now, just understand that Ezekiel's fire will act just like a really massive nuclear EMP attack, destroying electricity distribution and all unshielded electronics, even those found in cars and trucks. Video explanation. So let's talk about what an electromagnetic pulse is and what it would do to our way of life, and a little history is a great starting point. I have a great link to a YouTube video in the text version of this book, and it's titled, What is an EMP? The 60-Second Answer. That was short, quick, and to the point, but a little too short and too quick. Here's a discussion that goes a bit longer and talks a little bit more about EMP. It also gives an interesting demonstration of an EMP attack at work. From a YouTube video that you can find a link to in the text of this book, EMP Electromagnetic Pulse Bomb. The EMP demonstration begins at the halfway point. Notice what happens to your car when a strong electromagnetic pulse hits. It stops running. Then think about what General Wayne Downing infers about EMP. If an electromagnetic pulse happened over the battlefield, he said, quote, we'd have to dust off our lensatic compasses and our maps, and that's why when we train today, you still got to train under conditions without your technology, close quote. That sounds an awful lot like the verse that I quoted to you. Quote, in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. Close quote. Zechariah 12:4, KJV. Now, the above video engages in some hysteria. Getting a nuclear weapon 300 miles above the earth isn't as easy as you would think. Nukes are heavy, and they would need a big rocket to get it where they want it to go. Furthermore, power grid operators in the U.S. and elsewhere have learned how to resist the effects of most electromagnetic assaults, such as lightning. But Ezekiel's fire isn't lots of lightning. Here's what happens when your car is struck by lightning. From a YouTube video that you can find a link to in the text version of this book, it's titled, What happens when you're struck by lightning in a car? On Top Gear. A lightning strike is a lot like an EMP, and as you can see in the video, your car is designed to shrug off such a catastrophic event. They even have a term for EMP effects of a lightning strike. Lightning electromagnetic pulse, or LEMP. Some have used such examples of modern-day lightning protections to claim that EMP isn't much of a problem. But LEMP isn't the same as a nuclear electromagnetic pulse, NEMP, or high-altitude electromagnetic pulse, HEMP. And it will not be like the pulse that Ezekiel's fire will hit the earth with. And there's one company that specializes in using EMP technology to disable vehicles from a distance. A link to the video about this company is provided in the text version of this book, and the video is titled RF Safe Stop, Target Deactivation Across Land, Sea, and Air. That's a marketing presentation from Teledyne E2V, and whoever chose the background sound effects of that video needs to have their head examined. But it does demonstrate something very important. Your car might survive a lightning strike, but not an EMP. Here's a good discussion of EMP weapons by Simon Whistler at Today I Found Out, and there's a link to the YouTube video in the text version of this book. It's titled, Do Real EMP Weapons Actually Exist, or Are They Only a Thing in Movies? Notice what he says in this video repeatedly. All of the first nuclear electromagnetic pulse tests exceeded expectations. In fact, this is probably the most common scientific comment that we could make in our investigations of the dangers of EMP and solar storms. Our expectations are constantly being exceeded by reality, and we can't seem to grasp the magnitude of what is coming. Take the most recent almost catastrophe as an example. The solar storm of 2012. On July 23, 2012, the Sun unleashed the biggest solar flare and coronal mass ejection, CME, that we had seen in more than 150 years. It flew by Earth's orbit just 18 hours later and would have done fantastic damage to our civilization if it had happened a few days earlier. And the only reason that we know about it was due to a satellite launched 6 years earlier to examine our Sun, Stereo A. NASA called it a near miss, and some people took notice. That's why there was a meeting of scientists, government officials, and emergency planners in 2014 to talk about what might have happened if that solar flare and CME had hit us. The following video was published a couple weeks after that meeting was held in Boulder, Colorado. It's a YouTube video that you can find a link to in the text version of this book. It's titled Science Casts: Carrington Class CME Narrowly Misses Earth. The NASA write-up is here. It's titled Near Miss: The Solar Superstorm of July 2012 from nasa.gov. The slide presentation by Daniel Baker at that 2014 meeting is unsettling. It demonstrates just how vulnerable we are to such Carrington-class solar storms. You can see the slides of his presentation here. A major solar eruptive event in July 2012 defining extreme space weather scenarios, and it also can be found on the NOAA.gov website. Yet, at the same time, we have persons of uncertain parentage writing and recording videos that minimize the dangers of such solar flares. As Einstein has been reported as saying, there are two things that are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and he wasn't so sure about the universe. And if you forgot our discussion of the Carrington event of 1859 from the previous chapter, here's another look. In a YouTube video that you can find a link to in the text version of this book, and it's titled, Powerful Solar Storm Happened Once, See What It Caused. Again, we don't know when the next civilization-killing solar flare will hit us. However, it appears that the sun hits us about once every 100 to 150 years. And notice the difference between a direct hit and a miss. They aren't the same. These gigantic flares hit us every century and we aren't paying attention. Yes, we have an early warning satellite that will give us a few hours' notice of any solar flare headed our way. Power companies have said that they are putting in new technology that will protect us from the next solar superstorm. But will any of that be enough? Of course not. Remember what Simon Whistler said in the video in the previous chapter? That video mentioned EMP tests run by the US and the Soviets. They all exceeded expectations. By a lot. And we proved that scientists have repeatedly underestimated the sun's capacity for mayhem. Most continue to claim that the sun can't emit solar flares much stronger than the Carrington event. So when it eventually happens, we will be completely and utterly unprepared. Even if the prophecies that we talk about later were to be delayed 1,000 years, there is still a 100% chance that a gigantic solar flare will knock out our electricity and bring down our civilization. We are long overdue for this event to happen, and we aren't ready. However, God's prophecies are always on time and on target, so we should pay attention to everything that God says about what's coming. And there's one thing that we haven't talked very much about. A gigantic global earthquake that will destroy every city across the globe. The global earthquake. So far, we've destroyed electricity generation all over the planet. Water has stopped flowing from faucets. Farm irrigation has halted. Hospitals have run out of power. Sanitation has completely broken down, and sewage flows freely. Government no longer functions, the police and the fire departments are completely neutralized, streetlights no longer work, cars and trucks are immobilized, and if any did continue working, fuel would become completely unavailable within hours. Nothing would work, and people would very quickly die of thirst, starvation, disease, and violence. But unfortunately, it gets worse. Billions of people could die from just the destruction of electricity distribution and the frying of all electronic components. But over a decade or so, we could recover what was lost. As long as the buildings and roads still stood, we could slowly rewire everything and replace what could not be fixed. It would be awful, but most of us would survive. But what if the buildings and roads didn't survive? What if every building taller than two stories was crushed into mangled rubble? What if every underground pipe was smashed and every bridge destroyed? Ezekiel's fire isn't just about the destruction of the power grid, transportation, and every other part of our modern way of life. We're also talking about a global earthquake of a size that hasn't been seen since the Great Flood, more than 4,000 years ago. And yeah, we have evidence that this great deluge was caused by the same kind of Nova event and earthquake. The Bible describes the massive earthquake that's coming like this, quote, "There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall," close quote. Isaiah 30:25, NKJV. Notice where that verse is coming from. That's right, it's just before this one. Quote, "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound." Close quote. Isaiah 30:26, KJV. And those two verses are directly connected to the coming of Gog and Magog. And Ezekiel describes the result here. Quote, "So that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground." Close quote. Ezekiel 38:20, NKJV. Micah 5 also talks about the same moment in time and describes the cataclysm in this way, quote, "And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that I will cut off your horses from your midst and destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down all your strongholds," close quote. Micah 5:10-11, NKJV. Quote, "I will pluck your wooden images from your midst, thus I will destroy your cities, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury on the nations that have not heard," close quote. Micah 5:14-15, NKJV. And then to top it off, we have Revelation 6. Quote, "Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place," close quote. Revelation 6:14, NKJV. I described why Seal 6 of Revelation 6 is the coming of Gog and Magog here, the seven seals of Revelation, in whengogcomes.com. I fought hard to avoid saying that Seal 6 corresponds with Gog and Magog and Ezekiel's fire. I did not want to believe that and have asked anyone, to prove me wrong. So far, no one has done so. It was only when I was putting the pieces together that I realized that I could not escape the connection to the seven seals of Revelation. But let's get back to the point about the global earthquake. Again, here are the words that the Bible uses to describe this event. When the towers fall, mountains shall be thrown down, every wall shall fall to the ground, cut off the cities, throw down all your strongholds, destroy your cities, every mountain and island was moved out of its place. That is a global earthquake so big that every city around the world will be destroyed, every building, especially the big ones. And there is scientific reason for why this would happen. Solar flare earthquake connection. We have also seen a connection between large solar flares and large earthquakes. We see this in a video titled "Deadly Earthquakes Could Be Caused by Solar Activity," and you can find a link to it in the text version of this book. In this video, Anton Petrov points to the piezoelectric effect. When you put physical pressure on certain materials, an electric charge will be produced. We've noticed this happening before and during earthquakes. As rock is compressed, an electric charge is often detected. And the reverse also happens. In the reverse piezoelectric effect, an electric charge causes rock or crystal to move. Unfortunately, it is hard to prove that this is what's happening underneath the Earth's surface during a strong solar flare, but it would seem to explain why we are more susceptible to earthquakes during strong solar storms. Those interested in doing their own research can start with these two research papers. on the impact of the geospace environment on lithospheric processes at arxiv.org and on the correlation between solar activity and large earthquakes worldwide from nature.com. Those were two papers referenced in the above video and should be a good starting point in your own attempts to look at this phenomenon. Then, there is this video by Ben Davidson at Suspicious Observers. It's titled, Electroquake, Electric Earthquakes Are Real, a YouTube video link that you can find in the text version of this book. Ben is a lot more emphatic about the solar connection to large earthquakes, and I can't disagree, especially since so many scientific papers confirm this point. Then, a little over 2 years later, he revisits the topic with more confirmation. It's also in a YouTube video titled, How the Sun Makes Earthquakes, and you can find a link to the text version of this book. I think that we can answer the question about the sun's connection to earthquakes. There is a strong correlation between big solar events and big earthquakes. And when the biggest solar storm since the Great Flood occurs, the biggest earthquake since the Great Flood will follow. And every city of any size will be completely destroyed. The Earth's crust. We could almost stop there, but there's one more thing. We have evidence that during the Great Flood, the crust of the Earth didn't just break up and spread out east and west. It also shifted dramatically north and south. Trees that were found in fossils at the equator have also been found in the Arctic, the Norwegian part of it. And before you think that everywhere on Earth was tropical, don't be so sure. In fact, don't be sure at all. There's a link in the text of this book titled Fossilized Tropical Forest Found in Arctic, Norway, from livescience.com. Our planet is a ball of liquid metal and rock, and deep inside it spins fast enough to generate a magnetic field that protects us from cosmic radiation. At the surface of this ball of spinning liquid is a thin crust of Earth that we all live on, and it wouldn't take a lot of force to get it wobbling. In fact, it looks ready to do some serious wobbling already. If you are a pilot, you know that Earth's North Pole has been moving around. A lot. In fact, it left Canada in the 1990s without a visa and is heading straight towards Russia. And its movement is accelerating. So much so that one newspaper a couple years ago said, "Magnetic North Pole racing towards Russia, risking havoc for planes, ships, and smartphones." That was a little too much hysteria. Here's a more lighthearted discussion. From a YouTube video titled, Russia is Stealing Magnetic North from Canada. And you can find a link to that in the text version of this book. The write-up is here. Russia is stealing the North Magnetic Pole from Canada from nationalpost.com. The point is that the interior of Earth is wobbling. Most scientists claim to be mystified by this wobble, but then again, most scientists seem to be puzzled by magnetism. And a magnetic field that wobbles will wobble a lot if a really strong magnetic field interacts with it. And that is exactly what the passages about Ezekiel's fire appear to describe. The Earth's crust will shift. When Ezekiel's fire happens, an intense magnetic field will follow the shockwave racing out into the solar system. When that magnetic field interacts with Earth's dynamo, its wobble will turn into a lurch. And that lurch will cause the crust of the Earth to shift. That's part of what Revelation 6:14 means when it says that every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And I would dearly love for that verse to occur after the Antichrist, but I'm afraid that this is not the case and cannot be. Anyway, this shift in the Earth's surface will knock everything down, create massive tidal waves, and change the topography and geography of our planet. Nothing will be the same after that. The only question is about how big this shift will be. Some speculate that it will be a complete flip of the North and South Poles. Others say that it will merely be an excursion where the poles rapidly move back and forth. Either way, it'll be really bad. When you see Gog and Magog coming down to attack Israel, get out of any big buildings. In fact, go camping. You do not want to be caught by this earthquake and the tremendous devastation that will follow. Ezekiel's Fire, The Great Solar Cataclysm Straight Out of Prophecy by John Little. Copyright 2022, narrated by the author.